Hampshire primary is over, and Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, your winners. Coming up, we'll talk about that after 11:30 here on Homepage. Current events, controversy, and courageous living from a Chippewa Valley perspective. We've invited Brian Westrate, the chair of the Republican Party for the 3rd Congressional District, to join us for the look back at what happened in New Hampshire as both races move on to South Carolina. Bernie, an overwhelming victory by more than 20 points over Hillary Clinton, who acknowledges in her concession speech that she's got things to learn when it comes to energizing and connecting with young people. Also, I think some of the exit polls showed that voters want to know on the Democratic side, does she care about me? They feel like Bernie cares. They're feeling the burn. Meanwhile, on the other hand, Donald Trump, wow, 35% support in New Hampshire. Kasich finishes second. I'm kind of tired of hearing people say he was the surprise. Why was it a surprise? He had more than 100 town hall meetings. He's a more of a moderate Republican. He fits in more with the folks in New Hampshire, a la John McCain, who won there twice in the past. But again, still some huge numbers for Trump in terms of that 35% support. And he leads by double digits in South Carolina, Super Tuesday, South Carolina, Nevada, and Super Tuesday to follow. So more on that. But right now we've got Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd in the first half hour answering your questions about wellness and weight loss at 723-2555 at Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. Toll free 1-800-657-4769. You can email Mark at WDOGO.com or text HALVO, H-A-L-V-O, to 77000. All right, Karen, our first question. Jonathan in Rice Lake called. He didn't hang on, but his question is wanting to know, do Bush's beans, is that good enough? Or is that acceptable to you? The Bush? Well, we've had some folks from the Bush's Beans on with us, done a segment with them on WWIB in the past.
We have. Oh, yeah. Bush's beans are great. And a lot of times we get confused, and rightfully so, that, you know, the more you cook something, the more it's going to be lose its nutritional value. This is not true in the case of beans, because beans, the soluble fiber that we are so intent on getting into our little bodies, it actually comes from the breaking down of insoluble fiber. And so the more cooked a bean is, the longer, actually it starts when the bean is out in the field and it's on the vine. The longer it is out there on the plant and has been beaten with the sun and the wind and the rain and time and weathering, then the more soluble fiber that bean will have. Then it gets picked and then it gets put into a factory where we put it in cans like at Bush's Beans. And so the higher the pressure, the more the heat, the more it's cooked, that insoluble fiber breaks down even further into more soluble fiber. So our purchased canned beans have more soluble fiber than the ones you're going to cook at home, unless you're going to cook them in a pressure cooker, which we certainly can do. But please understand, cooking the ones at home is still really good, too. But there's nothing wrong with the Bush's beans. Then probably the real question he's asking is, Bush's beans, people always think Bush's baked beans. Now, Bush's sells more than baked beans. They have black beans and kidney beans and garbanzo beans, but their baked beans are their famous ones, and they are in their secret sauce, and their secret sauce, of course, is very sugary. So what do? Can we eat those? Sure we can. We put the beans in a colander, and then we rinse the beans off. We wash the sauce off of them. And people say you can't wash off sugar. Oh, yes, you can. Sugar is water-soluble. It easily just flows away.
All right, now, so somebody else, though, might say, come on, I'm still getting the beans. A little sugar's not going to hurt me, not going to harm me.
Yeah, except that's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of sugar that's in the sauce of those Bush's baked beans. It's not a little, it's a lot. So rinsing them off will be fine. And then there is so little that it doesn't matter. We are not at a place where it's going to stimulate an endocrine system response.
All right, so that's your advice on that. Okay.
That's my advice. Yeah, eat the Bush's baked beans, just rinse them off.
All right, here is another question from a listener. Let me see here. I guess KL. And here's KL says, hi, Mark. Thanks so much for conveying my question about the writing, typing, saying words and letters by inversion and transposing last time. If you're able to squeeze in my question for this week, here we go. She says, would you please ask Karen, do unhealthy or weak lungs cause a person to have a voice that is too soft and small for other people to hear without straining or the person speaking to have to strain to be louder? How much does diet matter, if at all, in this?
Okay. All right. Is it the lungs? Good question. Or is it something else? oftentimes what I have found out that it's not the lungs, because if you have weak lungs, you're going to have some very apparent other problems. You're not going to have enough breath to go up and down the stairs. You're not going to be able to do any physical activity. There's a lot to come with weak lungs. What is more likely for those people that are soft-spoken and they don't speak up is that the whole gastroesophageal reflux comes back in. That's called GERD. And so we have biofluids that come up into our throat, and they can affect your larynx, and that's your voice box, and so that you're not able to speak as much. It's just like a person who talks for a living, and if they don't breathe properly, then they will run out of voice by the end of the day. Or any singer knows this too. If you do not breathe properly as far as bringing the air up through the whole throat area, then you're going to run out of voice. And so does that mean they don't have lungs anymore and their lungs are weak? It has nothing to do with their lungs. It has to do with the way they're utilizing their air. And in the same way with gastroesophageal reflux disease, if we have all these biofluids that are regurgitating, and we all regurgitate biofluids at some level, and the biofluids are particularly damaging, then they damage those areas. And so we have a weaker voice, or we have the inability to sing. I work with so many people that will call me and say, I used to be on the worship team at church, and I used to sing, and I can't do that anymore because I'm so ill. And it's like, this is GERD. All we have to do is fix that. And then they're back singing again.
Huh.
And it has nothing to do with their lungs. So probably it's not the lungs.
All right. Very good. And here's one more question before a break with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. Again, if you have a question or comment for Karen on wellness or weight loss, you can get a hold of us, 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, 1-800-657-4769. You can email Mark at wogo.com, Mark at wogo.com, or text Halvo to 77000. Listener says, just wondering if Karen has any wisdom for a young person just diagnosed with diffuse B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Nasty. Okay. Yeah, we have to, any of the lymphomas, you know, it depends on the stage and the grade, and there's many things that go into this cancer. Lymphoma is a type of cancer. And yes, do I have advice? Yes. And we need to do something about it. And so that person, the parents of this child, really should call me, because there's so many changes that we can make. It's just like in John Jekyll's case, Mark. You know, John Jekyll is diagnosed with a fatal neurological disease. There is no...
We should explain, we had him on. He was with us in the last hour on WWIB, and we'll get a podcast of that up today at WIB.com under Wellness Wednesday. But go ahead.
Right. So John is supposed to be long gone, you know, or like the man that he referenced, you know, so many of them that can't speak after a few years, you know, they've lost all that muscle ability to do that. And so do we have a cure for ALS? No, but we can certainly slow the progression. Does anybody have a cure for cancer? No. No one has a cure for cancer yet. I think that cure will be coming in the next 50 years. But in the meantime, what do? We have to slow the progression. We have to eat right. We have to do everything we can to equip our immune system, go out there and tromp on those cancer cells. And so with this child with cancer, it's like, come on, let's get him eating a better diet so we have the best possible, we're in the best possible place that we can turn around cancers. Do cancers turn around? Sure, even this type of lymphoma will turn around. But we can't guarantee that. There are so many. Mark, I just was reading the other day about the mutability of tumors. They are so wild and crazy about how they change. Even within the same tumor, they can mutate to a different cancer within the same tumor. That's why we're having such a huge, horrible time about finding a cure for cancer. We need some invariable factor that will translate across the board on every cancer. How can we treat this cancer? And to find that is so hard because everything is changing. Even within the same tumor, it's changing. And that's the horribleness about cancer, because of this. Mutability means changing, and it's changing. It's the DNA. It's the DNA that's changing. And then so it changes from one DNA to another. It's like, okay, we know how to treat this cancer, but oh, here's another variant of it, and another variant. Now what do? So that's the trouble. That's what we gotta get under our control and find an invariant, something that applies across the board.
Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. All right, she's answering your questions. Jonathan in Rice Lake says thanks for his answer. You provided his question on Bush's baked beans and says that he's heading to Walmart right now to buy his beans. All right, way to go, Jonathan. All right, more of your questions. We'll play Stump the Bean Queen one more segment on this post-New Hampshire primary Tuesday. 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. You can email Mark at WOGO.com or text Halvo to 77000 WOGO.
It's cold outside, but the deals are
so hot
at the Indoor Sidewalk Sale, February 8th through the 14th at Stockman's in Osseo and Wilson. Prices slashed up to 75% on closeout and discontinued items. Up to 75% off items like boots, sporting goods, paints, hardware, and much, much more. These are the best deals of the year, but when they're gone, they're gone. The Indoor Sidewalk Sale, February 8th through the 14th at
Stockman Farm Supply in
Economy Furniture in Chippewa Falls is something that you've got to see.
It's tax time. Why not invest your refund in something you can really use? At Economy Furniture, your tax refund can go a long way. We have two floors of great furniture at everyday low prices. Spend your hard-earned refund wisely. Stop in at Economy Furniture, rocking and reclining since 1950.
Furnishing the Chippewa Valley since 1950.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, one more segment taking your questions for Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd on anything having to do with wellness and weight loss. We today return to a client of Karen's, John Jekyll, formerly of Hayward, but now in Illinois as he battles ALS. And it's quite the story. We've had annual visits with John for a number of years now. And again, it's just slowed the progress of this. And he talked a lot about hope and the hope that he's had and has been provided in terms of not only life, but even quality of life as he's battled this terrible illness. And so, again, we'll get the podcast of that up today at WWIB.com under Wellness Wednesday, again, at WIB.com. But right now, to the phones we go, and Sarah and Mondovi for Karen Hurd. Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the air.
Yeah. So I'm a nursing mom, and I was just wondering, do I need to eat dairy? Is that something you recommend or don't as far as the calcium? And also for my baby, he's about 6 months old, starting solids, and what do you recommend and not recommend for babies to eat?
Okay, and could you just repeat the first part of your question because I missed part.
Yeah, I'm a breastfeeding mom.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering, as far as, like, dairy, do I need to eat dairy to... for the calcium, or is that something you do or don't recommend?
Okay, great. Okay, I missed the word dairy because that's what I was like. Okay, I'm not quite sure.
Do you want to listen off air, Sarah?
Sure.
Okay, all right, so we're going to let you go, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so the question was, she's a nursing mom, and she is wondering, what do we do about dairy? Because, and it's such a good question, because dairy is one of the most difficult things for us to digest. It is the milk protein, its name of it is casein. It is such a complex protein molecule. And these protein molecules made out of amino acids, which are little building blocks of a protein. But all the amino acids, they're attached to another amino acid through what are called peptide bonds. And we got to have a way to be able to break the bonds between the amino acids, because when we take a protein into the human bloodstream, we do not want a full and complete, large, hunking protein molecule, because we can do nothing with it. Absolutely nothing. All we can do is let the liver clear it out, throw it into the bile, and try to get it out in the form of a bowel movement. We have to have amino acids go into the bloodstream. So to do that, we have to break them down. We have to break these bonds that are holding these amino acids together. And human beings don't make the digestive enzyme to break those bonds that come from the milk, from cow's milk. And so that becomes a huge problem. And then these molecules go into the bloodstream. You'll say, well, Karen, we can just break the bonds in the bloodstream. Doesn't work like that. No way. We don't have that type of chemistry happening in the bloodstream. It has to happen in the gut. And so if we don't break that casein molecule down into amino acids in the gut, it doesn't happen. So enter into the bloodstream, casein is a whole molecule, and it wreaks havoc. It causes all kinds of ear infections. Allergies is what it causes. Allergies, which can result in mucus and build up in eustachian tubes, backs up into your ear. You got ear infections. You got this mucus in your throat, and you always have problems. So then you say, but wait a minute, that's the only place we can get calcium. There is no denying that the dairy products they're a good source of calcium. However, there are many other foods that are excellent sources of calcium also. What most people are unaware of, I can't even think of any food unless you call the oils. If you say, I'm going to put olive oil in my food, how much calcium is in olive oil? None. But in every other food, you name it, carrots, broccoli, eggs, chicken, beef, beans, nuts, seeds, everything that we're eating, they all have calcium. Every food we have calcium. Some foods have huge amounts of calcium compared to milk. Like if you eat fish, especially fish with bones in them, like canned sardines or canned salmon, they're the richest source of calcium we have. But what if you don't like canned sardines and you don't like canned salmon? Are you eating carrots? Are you eating beans? Are you eating chicken? Are you eating eggs? We're all eating it. If you would take, you can go on the internet and you can get you can find these little calculators for you, and you can put in, okay, well, I'm eating this many beans a day and this many vegetables, and specifically I'm eating broccoli or I'm eating spinach or whatever you're eating, and it can tell you this is how many milligrams of calcium that you're getting in a day. And so depending on if you're a woman or if you're nursing, if you're a nursing mom, you need 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day, but you'll find out, hey, I easily make it. And what if you don't make it? What if you say, oh, well, I'm 200 milligrams short of calcium? Hey, just go get some unsweetened almond milk. Notice I said the word unsweetened almond milk because they have the sweetened ones too. Get unsweetened almond milk in like the Blue Diamond brand of the Almond Breeze. In one cup of unsweetened almond milk, there are 450 milligrams of calcium. By the way, in one cup of milk, there's only 300. So like the almond milk has got this thing beat hands down. So go ahead and just drink an 8-ounce cup, which is nothing, of your unsweetened almond milk. You're there. Now, she asked about the baby in solids, too. Okay, so they've got a 6-month-old baby and wondering, what do we introduce first with solids? An excellent question. We want to introduce the most easily digested food there is, and that is always a carbohydrate. And the most easily digested carbohydrate we have is rice. And so you start a baby on rice cereal. And if you don't want to buy the rice cereal, you can just cook up your own rice and then mash it up. You have to get it all blended up and pureed so the baby can eat it because they're not ready to have more of the solid food. But you can make it into a thin-down gruel or cereal. So you start with rice. The next thing you introduce after your rice is you bring in another carbohydrate. What's the next best carbohydrate to bring in? It's your vegetables. So you bring in your vegetables that are non-cruciferous. Non-cruciferous vegetables are vegetables like green beans and peas and carrots. It's winter squash like pumpkin and butternut squash, asparagus. Cruciferous vegetables can cause a little bit of gastrointestinal upset because of their tendency to produce gas. And so the cruciferous vegetables we wait on to introduce later are like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage. Most people recognize that from, oh, yeah, they always gave me a lot of gas. So you start with those more gentle vegetables. Then what do you bring in? Then you can bring in your legumes. Those are your beans, which are carbohydrates also. Then we introduce the proteins. The proteins are the chicken. It's the fish. I wouldn't start with seafood with a baby yet because seafood, there are so many people have allergies to seafood, so we have to watch for that. But when we bring in our proteins, and then what did I leave out? Obviously, I left out fruit because fruit is so high in sugar. Teach these kids to love vegetables. They're going to get plenty of opportunity to eat sweets as they grow up, and a sweets come with a big load of trouble. Okay, was that a dollar answer for a nickel?
There we go. That was good enough, Karen. Okay. Thanks. All right, let's go to another caller on the line here on WOGO, and this is Scott in Cumberland. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Yeah. I have actually two quick questions. Hopefully I have time for this. One is for high blood pressure. I mean, it's not real. I went up to like 140 over 85 or something like that. Normally I'm always really low, so I was just kind of wondering what's a good, food that's more, going to be easily to get that back down? And then also, like, is eggs bad with cholesterol? Kind of a question for that.
Oh, excellent questions, both of them, sir. Okay, I'll start with the blood pressure question first. You are right, 140 over 85 is not particularly high. The cutoff most cardiologists and physicians use is 140 over 90. And at that point, if you're over that, then it's like, okay, let's look at blood pressure medications. You're not in any danger of cardiovascular disease at 140 over 85, but it is your little warning, okay, why am I higher than 120 over 80, which we consider 120 over 80 the norm? And so what we do is we have to decide we have to determine what's causing your blood pressure to go up. Is it because you're overweight? Because the more weight you carry, then you have to grow a blood vessel system to feed that extra flesh on your body. So that increases the volume of blood that is flowing, and so that makes your blood pressure go up. So easy solution, lose weight. But maybe it's because of stress. If you are one of these go-getter type of people always running on adrenaline, or maybe you're not a go-getter type of person, but you're just under tremendous amount of stress because of your job, because of your relationship, or whatever it is, stress causes you to release a stress hormone called adrenaline, which then will cause vasoconstriction. Vasoconstriction is the narrowing of blood vessels, and so then your blood pressure goes up. So what's the answer in that one? Lose weight? No, it's to eat soluble fiber on a frequent basis. Those are the beans. Eat beans on a frequent basis to throw away the bile. Well, what does bile have to do with adrenaline? Everything, because the adrenaline is cleared out of your bloodstream and placed into the digestive fluid bile for excretion. If we recycle the bile, and we all recycle bile at 90-95%, then we don't get rid of it. The adrenaline enters back into the bloodstream to create more vasoconstriction, because adrenaline is a hormone. The hormones don't break down. They continue to exist. They don't get broken down into their little tiny pieces. They are always a hormone once they're created. So they will just keep causing these reactions to happen, this vasoconstrictive. So you eat beans on a frequent basis, and that'll bring it down. So another reason that you could be having high blood pressure is maybe you eat a very, very high salt diet. You know, you got salt on everything. If you got salt on everything, then it's like, okay, that's because you're increasing your blood pressure goes up because you're increasing the volume of blood. Salt causes water to stay in the bloodstream, and so it increases the amount of fluid, and so then that increases your blood pressure, so then you cut back on your salt. But a lot of people don't have to cut back on salt because the real issue is stress or it's weight, or so we determine what it is. So bottom line, I know you want a simple answer. Eat your beans, because most people's blood pressure is up because of their stress. It's the number one cause. And then just make sure you don't have anything that raises your blood pressure. What raises your blood pressure is caffeine. Caffeine will raise your blood pressure right now before I can say Jack Sprat. So we get rid of that. And then the second question I want to answer for you is the eggs. Eggs have been demonized for decades and decades, and that was because we knew that we're really in the infancy stages in our study of biochemistry. And we found out that the egg, if you look at the yolk, not the white's fine, but the yolk has this cholesterol in it. And so we figured that cholesterol just logically carries over into the cholesterol in your bloodstream. That was just straight-line reasoning. That's no backing up with any real scientific evidence. So if you eat cholesterol and eggs, then it's obviously going to be cholesterol in the bloodstream. However, we have been able to do quite a bit of research since then, and we have this wonderful NMR. It's a nuclear magnetic resonance. You know, we can't see a little hydrogen atom. We don't have a microscope that's powerful enough to see that. But we can see where the hydrogen atom has been. It leaves a little trace. And so that's what this MNR has been able to do, just revolutionize science for us, although I still think we're in the infancy stage, and so that we can see where all of these little hydrogens are going. Hydrogens are, like, really important in biochemistry because they're attached to everything, and they are dictating, it's called proton donation and accepting, and they're involved in everything, okay? So we can really identify what's going on if we can follow these little hydrogens around. And so we've been able to do that. And because of those studies, we've learned a lot, so much that Harvard University decided to mount two massive studies. One's called the Boston Irish Study, and the other one's the Framingham Heart Study. Now, Harvard is quite an institution. They are really smart people there. And so these are massive studies. Most studies are with 30 people or less. I mean, we just don't have a lot of people enrolled in studies. But These studies are massive studies. One of them, it's thousands of people, like that's in the Framingham Heart Study. And so they're specifically looking at this cholesterol issue, and the results are in. They're still running the Framingham Heart Study, and the Boston Irish, I'd have to look to see if that's completely wrapped up not now or not, but the results are in. The eggs, the cholesterol in the eggs are not the same cholesterol that's in your bloodstream. It's a totally different chemical construct, and eating eggs has absolutely nothing to do with your cholesterol. It's totally different. Cholesterol is a sterol. It's a 5- and 6-membered ring that are hooked together. These are chemical ways that we draw out molecules. And so what we're dealing with in the bloodstream that's running around in our veins is completely different than what we're dealing with the eggs. So now the apologies are going out to the egg industry. But because we have demonized eggs for so long, it will take at least another 2 or 3 decades to get that out of thinking in people's heads, that eggs are bad. Eggs are not bad. They don't raise your blood cholesterol.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Are nuts good to eat then for blood pressure, you know, to eat more nuts?
Oh, yeah. Nuts are great.
Oils.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, nuts are great because they have a good fat in them, and that fat actually, it enables us to break down the LDL, and LDL is the bad cholesterol, and then once we break that down, we get rid of that, then you have, your blood is not as thick. It's not as sticky. And so then you can pass the blood through your veins faster and easier without so much pressure. So, yeah, the nuts are really good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks again for your call. And let me see, we've got good, solid answers there today, Karen, for sure. All right, we've got an emailer who chimed in as well today here on WWIBandWib.com from an anonymous person. Who says, how do you measure a serving of vegetables? Do you use a measuring cup, scale, et cetera? Real quick.
Okay, I always just use a cup measure.
All right. And then finally, when I visit a friend who has a water softening system and an osmosis filter on one faucet, the listener says that she seems to get sick when she drinks the water at their home. Can softened water or osmosis water upset a person's digestive system? If so, why?
Yeah, reverse osmosis water does not. Softened water is something else. Softened water, we've just added salt to the water because there's so many minerals, and so it's a hard water. So that's all that means is that we've added salt.
All right. Oh. All right, there we go. All right. Hey, Karen, people can call and make an appointment with you at 715-877-3510. We hope they'll do that and learn more at your website, KarenHurd.com. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thanks. Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd here on homepage on WOGO. The rest of the hour, the New Hampshire primary, and lots of columns as people breaking that all down. Sanders and Trump, the big winner, as one person said today, the socialist and the narcissist. WOGO.
When your car needs work at the body shop, you want it put back together to its original condition in a timely manner and fixed right the first time. Courtesy Auto and Truck Service has the expert and courteous service you want and deserve. Their body shop experts are factory-trained pros. Call Courtesy Auto and Truck Center's Body Shop to make plans for that needed repair. Courtesy drives the distance.
Are you hoping your vehicle will make it through the winter? Here's a few tips from Bob Adams of Adams Automotive Center in Eau Claire.
If it's getting into that 100,000-mile mark, spark plug wires and associated items may be something to consider. A good clean spark is going to make sure the car fires quick and easy. And of course, making sure fuel injectors are clean and everything is flowing smoothly, that's what you need.
Tow it, fix it, get you on your way with Adams Automotive Center.
Pumping out your septic system is a must. For your home and business, if you haven't done it in 3 years, it's overdue. Call Valley Septic and Sewer serving Eau Claire and Chippewa Counties for over 30 years. With their equipment and expertise, Dan and the Valley Septic crew can fix any problem all year round. Call Dan to schedule today, 715-723-2474. 715-723-2474.
And FM 103.1. Today, sunny, a high near 10 above with north to northwest winds around 5. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 6 below. Thursday, sunny, a high near 13. Friday, sunny, a high near 10. Saturday, sunny, a high only near 7 above. Sunday, a 50-50 chance of snow during the day, cloudy and a high near 17.
Talk Radio 680, W. Looking for help, skips it out to Winch. Jake Winch, the senior, wide open for three. Right side, book it for Jake.
He was too wide open.
Another great week of action here on WOGO Sports. Tuesday night, the McDonald Lady Macs take on the Fall Creek Crickets. Thursday night, the Macs boys battle Cadott. Friday, it's Lady Cardinals hoops against River Falls. And capping it all off Saturday afternoon, a Chi-Hi guys and girls hockey doubleheader. This week on 103.1 FM and WOGO.com. Live on Twitter at WOGO Sports.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, as much as I love Karen Hurd and her wellness and weight loss advice and love helping people from all the way to Cumberland to Phillips down to La Crosse and all over the place in hour one of our daily live local talk from Stewards of Sound Incorporated, initially on WIB and WIB.com and over here on FM 103.1 AM 680 and Woodward.com. I've been chomping at the bit to get to this next part, and that is breaking down the New Hampshire primary. I got to admit, I'm kind of bumming. I'm going to have my Rubio man crush here, and I was still predicting wrongly yesterday, like our friend Hugh Hewitt, that he was saying Rubio would finish in third. He finished in fifth. I had him going in second. Okay, I was wrong. I just thought they'd look beyond that, but it had enough of an effect. And I thought he rightly broke it down on Fox and Friends today, where Marco talked about the fact that, it was not only the encounter with Christie and how he handled that, but then the media was just obsessed with it for 72 hours afterwards. So it cost him. We've got a lot of sound from a lot of candidates from last night. I've had some interaction with a lot of folks on Facebook already today and just tweeted out Ezra Klein's story, "The Rise of Donald Trump is a Terrifying Moment in American Politics." He begins by telling a story of vulgarity that Trump was involved in last week. And I've just added to it. I said, "Stop giving Trump a free pass." All capital letters, multiple exclamation points. On the line with me, one of my favorite guys in all the world to talk politics with, Brian Westrate of Fall Creek. He's the chair of the Republican Party for the 3rd Congressional District. What's your take on last night? I've gotten a little bit of a glimpse on Facebook. You talked about pulling the money and putting it in the mattresses.
Well, I mean, my comment is related to the markets. I mean, look, the business community, the economic markets, they can handle almost anything other than uncertainty. So they handled bad news. They handled good news. But uncertainty is what kills markets. And so I jokingly said, you know, if it looks like the options are going to be a socialist, Bernie Sanders, or a narcissist, Donald Trump, I'm taking my money out of the market and stuffing it into my mattress. Because what could be more uncertain? Well, I mean, you know what Bernie's going to do, which is kill the economy. But with Trump, who knows what he's going to do? So the markets, I would expect, would react very negatively to the certainty that one of those two men would be president.
Yeah, it is something. This is the Washington Examiner has Byron York's story, "Decisive Trump Victory Sends GOP Establishment Reeling." Here's a little bit of sound from there.
I am going to be the greatest jobs president that God ever created.
All right, so that's what we get from Donald Trump, Brian. There's Byron York and Brian Westrate. But it's just, and I saw you comment with this on Facebook recently too, which is a similar frustration I share, which is, okay, enough of that. We've heard that. Like, give us some specifics, and he doesn't really.
You know, what's funny, Mark, is I couldn't hear what the
okay, he just said, Trump said, I'm going to be the greatest jobs president God ever created.
I was going to say, but I didn't need to.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I could tell where we were going with this. I mean, it's fascinating. A friend of mine, and I will be posting it on Facebook after our conversation here, but a friend of mine sent me an interesting YouTube video of a guy that breaks down a typical Donald Trump answer and shows how he is the consummate salesman. Even in his language, he is the consummate salesman. And the point that this gentleman makes is Donald Trump may or may not be intelligent, okay, but a good salesman can sell a bad product.
Hmm.
You can have, you know, in my business, one of the kind of truisms is you can have a bad product with an excellent brochure, but you can't have an excellent or a bad brochure and have a good product and still be in business. And that's what Donald Trump is. Is he is speaking, they analyzed, I don't remember who it was, but one of the major newspapers analyzed, or publications analyzed, the announcement speeches of all of the candidates left as of a couple of months ago, and then put it into the formula for determining the grade level of language. And Donald Trump's announcement speech was a fourth grade.
I thought it was third. I heard it third grade. Yeah, okay, third grade.
But that's what he's doing.
I mean,
he is trying to tap into the politically ignorant, I guess, is really the nicest way I can put it. I mean, people who they know they don't like politics. They know they don't like politicians. They know they don't like the direction the country is going, but they don't really know anything about it. And so Donald is feeding them what they want to hear, which is xenophobia and I'm going to make America great again.
Yeah.
And it's just not, I mean, if for those of us, I think, that are into the weeds, I mean, that have spent a decade, you know, in my case, a decade learning and growing and understanding how the process works, look, I will vote for Donald Trump. I will support him. I will wear the T-shirt. If the option is Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, then it's clear he is a much better option.
I would lean that way, Brian, but even today I talked with somebody who said, and they cited, you know, the lesser of two evils, et cetera. We always have that choice in a fallen world. But this particular person has been disgruntled with Trump and alienated and said, is there a time when those lesser of two evils reaches a point where you just can't vote for any of them? I mean, that's where this particular individual is a 50-something guy. He's pondering that. I would tend to lean in the direction of what you've said, but I'm just telling you what I'm hearing from folks.
Well, right, and I just want to make clear, because again, I do have a position within the party, and
I
want to make it clear to both my friends and those who disagree with me that.
And I think there's a lot of people like that. I mean, the former governor of New Hampshire, John Sununu, had been a Republican leader for years. I heard him on NPR last night, and he said he will support the Republican nominee, but you could almost see him holding his nose at the time.
Right, and so at least the Donald is telling us, conservative concepts, more or less. I mean, at least with Hillary and Bernie, we know what they're. I mean, if the options were Donald Trump or John Kennedy, I don't know. Maybe I'd vote the other way or stay at home. Or I mean, I don't. But we have reached the point at which the divide is so great that, I mean, almost in my opinion, almost anybody would be better than almost anybody who espouses Republican at least. Lip service to Republican ideals would be better than Bernie Sanders. I mean, he is a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, and I've said on your show before, American socialists seem to think that the reason it failed in the Soviet Union and everywhere else it was tried was because of the leadership, not the ideology. I mean, it's madness in my opinion. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think it should be a Republican victory this year. I mean, we look at it on paper. Bernie brings more enthusiasm. Hillary brings certainly a lot of problems. Although I got to say, in credit to her supporters, there was some enthusiasm at the rally last night. But I want to listen to play. Hopefully you can hear some of this. I'm going to play you we got a lot of the candidates, and I want to get some of that. But some of the Trump supporters, let's hear the explanation of people who are Trump backers. James Geschwinder says he thinks Trump will turn the country around.
He's saying what we're all thinking. We're tired of the same old political regime, and we're hoping he can come in and change us and get our country back.
All right, that sounded like a woman to me, but anyhow, the description said James Geschwinder. So, you know what? I'm sorry. That was my wrong. That is Diana LaChance. But anyhow, any reaction to that?
Well, I get it. I mean, look, I just had a conversation with the state chairman, Brad Courtney, earlier today. And one of the things, we talked about how we both pray for each other, because he's a born-again Christian as well. His daughter went to Bethel College, where I went to school.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about how we pray for each other at night, and how, you know, he mentioned how it's oftentimes he realizes that persons in my position sometimes have an even harder job because of how close we are to the grassroots. And he realizes how upset the grassroots are with Washington, D.C., and with the National Party, you know, whereas he has to deal with donors who are upset. We have to deal with the grassroots volunteers. And so I understand as well as anyone, I think, the core disfavor that politicians are in, the just visceral frustration the conservatives have with Republicans at the national level. I get it. I mean, I was a libertarian in college. I still voted for Dole for president. But, I mean, I am a small L libertarian Republican. I get it. That being said, what I don't understand is why that translates into supporting this particular non-politician. I mean, this is not Ron, you know, Donald Trump is not Ron Johnson. Donald Trump is not, you know, he is not the answer to a disaffected populace, in my opinion. I mean, this is a guy who has abused the system every single chance he's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who tried to use eminent domain to steal a little old lady's house so that he could build a parking lot for limousines. This is a guy who admits time and time and time again that he uses the bankruptcy laws to avoid paying his debts. I mean, this is not a principled non-politician. He is the other side of the crony capitalism problem. And I just, it is mind-boggling to me that the very same people that love Donald Trump hated Mitt Romney, when the only difference between the two men was the bank balance and whether or not one had been governor for 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, yet Mitt Romney was an incredibly principled individual whose life was full of proof of service. I mean, who stepped in and took over the Olympics at his own expense and turned it around. Point to me in Donald Trump's life that says, oh, yeah, this is a guy that has spent his life serving others, who believes that really a life lived for others is a life well lived. I mean,
well, what I hear from
I just
people,
don't see it.
Yeah, from what I hear from people is, though, that he loves our country. Here's a couple more of his supporters. I think this is actually James Geshwinder.
He is the only person that can beat Hillary and the Democrats and take our country and make our country great again.
Yeah, that's just not what the polls show, Brian.
No, they don't. I mean, I hear that time after time, and I keep having to point to people that, in fact, the real clear average of polls, and so fine. I mean, look, I'm with everyone else, and there's lies, and statistics, right? Or
uh-huh.
Lies, damnable lies, and statistics. So I get that, okay? But they're what we have. They're what we have to use to try and order our society and our thinking. And the real clear average of polling says that Donald Trump is, in fact, one of the least likely individuals to beat Hillary or Bernie. Here in Wisconsin, Bernie beats him by like 30% in the last Marquette poll. I mean, it's nuts. And so, here's the thing about he loves America. Well, who doesn't? Bernie Sanders loves America. Like, it's like I keep saying about President Obama. I'll have conversations with people who will say, oh, you know, I really think he wants to kill America. And I say, I don't want to spend any time analyzing his heart because I don't know his heart.
Mm-hmm.
What I can tell you is his policies will ruin America. So let's talk about his policies. And here with Donald, I don't doubt that he loves America. What I don't see is any specifics about how he is going to, quote unquote, make America great again.
Yeah.
He is a man who speaks in bumper stickers. And it was really cute for a couple of months. But people are starting to vote. And I just, you know, New Hampshire, I get. New Hampshire is not Iowa. I mean, New Hampshire is. I mean, a conservative in New Hampshire is still a liberal. So, I mean, I don't take the win in New Hampshire as particularly relevant.
Let me just share
what happens in South Carolina.
All right, let me just on Facebook this morning. We're talking to Brian Westrate, and again, you know, another post I could have made today but didn't is just that if you're a Trump backer and a supporter and you're just you know, in all your glory today, I mean, God bless you. I mean, I'm just not there. Okay. And so we've got you on, Brian. You're a Republican leader in Western Wisconsin, one of the best guys to talk politics with. And you're like, you know what? I will support the Republican nominee. And I probably will as well. Trump talks about a peace through strength approach. He also brags about, you know, not supporting the Iraq war like Barack Obama did. I guess I'd like to hear somebody ask him, would he have supported the surge? Because that proved to be very successful when we ultimately did engage in that. And so there's a lot of issues. I said this, though, today. I said, Bernie, Trump, or Michael Bloomberg for president, what other choices do I have? And it's elicited a lot of comments. And one Democrat listener, Larry Overhagen, said, vote Democrat this time, Mark Halverson. Let the common working man have a chance in life. I said, thanks, but no thanks on Bernie the Socialist and Hillary, Larry. And so he said, Trump is honest, scary honest, capital letters. And here's what I just said. Get your quick reaction before break. I said, by honest, yes, he does throw caution to the wind in a manner quite different than anyone we've ever seen run for office other than Jesse Ventura. I don't know how truthful or accurate he is, though. For instance, he says he's going to have a 35 to 40 foot wall built on our southern border, which that's about 3 to 4 stories, by the way, which he estimates will cost $8 billion and be paid for by Mexico. I find almost all of that highly unbelievable. We already have a fence covering 2/3 of the border. Why start over with a wall? Are we to believe he's going to really bus 11 to 12 million people here illegally out of the country? How's he going to do that? Would anyone please ask him? Additionally, I highly question his temperament, character, and substantive knowledge to be our nation's president. Finally, Rubio gets criticized for repetition, but what does Trump really say beyond we're going to make America great again?
An excellent reply, and I'm actually looking at it on Facebook as we talk here. And, I mean, we won't even get into Larry's common working man have a chance in life as if, I mean, whatever. But that's really it. I mean, what you've hit the nail on the head. And what I said 2 months ago, I said, look, if Donald were to switch from carnival barker to statesman, I think he'd have a chance, right? If he had started to talk about specifics and how, in fact, he's going to do this and who, you know, how, in fact, this is going to happen. But in one of the debate performances, he proved that he hadn't even read his own policy paper as posted on his website. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it. We've already been down this road. We went down this road with Barack Obama. The cult of personality, where we're not going to look at his specifics. We're not going to look at his past. We're going to ignore his racist church. We're going to ignore his college thesis, where he talks about the need to bring down, you know, to foment cultural warfare.
Now, those are Obama things you're talking about.
Those are Obama things.
Right.
What I'm saying is that we, you know, our mutual friend Marty will admit that he ignored all of that and voted for him because, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to be a transformational president. He's going to, you know, change the paradigm. And what we got was Jimmy Carter on steroids.
All right, let me take a break. We're going to hear from we'll hear from the candidates and kind of, you know, Trump played word association yesterday. We'll do some of that with the candidates and comment on where they sit in this ongoing race for the Republican and Democratic nomination for president. Mark Halverson, Brian Westrade, homepage, WOGO.
And that guy knows how to make deals. And if you don't follow him and you don't go along with him, then obviously you don't know what you're doing, because all he cares about is making this country great again. And I believe that.
Make it a point to find the best in others and speak it to them by simply verbalizing, "You're doing a great job," or "I appreciate your hard work." You will help build up those you work with and help create and sustain an upbeat atmosphere that everyone enjoys.
Be listening immediately following select WOGO news broadcasts for a small business moment sponsored by Citizens State Bank of Kadada and Chippewa Falls, where you as a small business owner and manager will learn vital tips to help keep your business running smoothly.
Swan Graber and Barron invites you to stop in to check out 50-plus vehicles. That's right, 50-plus rides right now for under $199 a month. Choose from Chevys, Dodges, Fords, Rams, and tons of other brands. They have cars, trucks, SUVs, and their lot is full. Now is the time at Swan Graber to check out 50-plus vehicles for under $199 a month. So make it a point to stop in for a car-buying experience of a lifetime at Swan Graber and Barron.
Unapproved credit, tax, title, license, extra.
I'm Gary Crossland, and I get a lot of mail from people who love the Merged Gospels. Here's a letter from Tom who says, "The Merged Gospels is so much better than a gospel harmony. Merging the narrative makes many of the stories more detailed, more complete, and more meaningful." Here's Sam who says, "I read the Merged Gospels every day for 90 minutes. Never have I seen an easier way to understand the life of Jesus." And finally, here's Jesse who says, "The Merged Gospels has made a big impact on me and the men that I am discipling. It makes us want to go deeper and to disciple the way Jesus did." The Merged Gospels is the only book of its kind in 2,000 years. It's a literal translation of the Greek Gospels, broken down word by word and reassembled chronologically into one flowing story. Get your own copy of the Merged Gospels book or audiobook. Just go to MergedGospels.com. MergedGospels.com.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
When you see the kind of deals made in our country, a lot of those deals are made because the politicians aren't so stupid. They're making them for their benefit. We have to stop it. We have to stop it.
All right, we've got 6 minutes left on the clock. Mark Halverson, Brian Westray, chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party 3rd Congressional District, interacting about the New Hampshire primary from last night. Donald Trump, again, Byron York with an excellent piece at the Washington Examiner today. Ramesh Panuru, also at Bloomberg, says, what's the anti-Trump strategy now? I mean, again, we talk about establishment. Clearly, this was a message on both sides in terms of anti-establishment and a vote for perceived authenticity, if not the real thing, in terms of Trump and also the Democrat, Bernie Sanders. So what would be the answer? Some people accuse you of being establishment, Brian. So what would you say? What happens here? I mean, some people say if it was just one candidate, like Ted Cruz wants to be, he thinks maybe he could outpoll Trump one-on-one, but that's not the case right now. And certainly, you know, Cruz battles the establishment himself quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, the idea of me being establishment, I guess.
You're part of the party. You're part of the party. And Trump was part of it all the way until he announced on June 16th by his own acknowledgement. And now all of a sudden, he's Mr. Outside. Right? I mean, it kind of calls to mind for me, Herb Kohl, when he initially ran in 88 and subsequently Democrat, wealthy, but not Trump wealthy, said, you know, nobody's senator but yours. That's what Trump is trying to say. I'll be nobody's president but yours. And he's really, you know, all the candidates have to raise money. And so he's positioning himself differently from that, even though he was a generous donor to both sides to get the system to work for him for years.
Mark, let me share with you a brief story. So in 2010, there was a gentleman running for the U.S. Senate in the primary named Dave Westlake. And
yep.
I spent a fair amount of time with Dave down at an establishment on Water Street over lunch one day. And we talked about money. And one of the things I explained to him, and I have explained to every candidate since then, is your ability to raise money shows support. If you can't get money from your own friends and family, why would you ask me to ask my friends and family to give you money? And so from my perspective, that's a double-edged sword, okay? So what Donald is saying is, I'm not going to have to care at all about anyone's opinion at any point but my own. I mean, that's not a good thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It helps. You look at all of the rest of them. The cap is $10,000 in federal here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, anyone who spends $500 million on a race has literally tens of thousands of little old ladies and working class guys and, you know, people taking money out of their savings account to write a check to someone they believe in. Tens of thousands of donors. That means there's tens of thousands of people that support you. I think that's a good thing, okay? I don't think that's a bad thing. I think being accountable, I mean, I have a good friend that got a lot of money at a relatively young age and has never been accountable to anybody, and it has caused them to make some really unfortunate decisions. Being accountable to other people is a good thing. It's one of the reasons we do small group as Christians, okay, is to be in community with others that we have to be accountable to. So I don't view that as a great thing.
All right, 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as far as establishment, look, I'm still looking to hear who the quote-unquote spokesman for the quote-unquote establishment is. I mean, it appears to be a boogeyman that people on the right have come up with to embody the nebulous concepts of corruption that they don't like. But it is just that. It's a boogeyman. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I'm part of the establishment, I'd really like someone to give me the phone number who I'm supposed to call to do something. I mean, no, the establishment are people like me who give volunteer hours of their life to try and make a difference in their community, from everywhere from Mike Connell in the Eau Claire County chairman all the way up to Brad Courtney, our state chairman. We're all volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you got to run a party, and that's how it works. And Bloomberg's going to try to run as an independent, especially if... If Bernie Sanders is going to be the Democratic nominee. Hey, Marco has helped us and others save on print costs and become more productive. Also, Eau Claire and Lake Halley Auto Value Auto Parts Stores, where service is the difference and they get it. They've got 3 Chippewa Valley locations on London Road and Cameron Street in Eau Claire, and also in Lake Halley next to Moldy's Archery and Tackle. All right, on Facebook, we've got Jody Emerson. She's posting this piece that I have up from Ezra Klein, The Rise of Donald Trump is a Terrifying Moment in American Politics. Check it out. It's on my Facebook page. I tweeted it out, at Mark Halverson. But here's what Jody says. She says, you know that Trump is scary when both Mark Halverson and Katie Phillips, I don't know Katie, posted the same article. She says, I love that my group of friends is so diverse. So I don't know Katie. Try to find out. I'm thinking if I'm center-right, maybe she's on the left, and maybe there is a unity Trump is bringing in our country, huh? All right, we're out of time. Thanks so much for listening. We'll get a podcast up at wogo.com. We're looking to rectify our problems there, so on.